to the book of Galatians chapter 6 this morning. That's where we'll be. And just a couple things that we're talking about. We talked Wednesday night about getting our new tracks ordered in mailers, and we're going to try to make the mailers look a lot like the tracks this time, so we're working on that. So we'll do some more talk about that, but I did want to say to you that we have right now we have a little over $1,800 that has been given toward putting out mailers. So we're going to be able, that'll enable us to do quite a bit. I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and to giving, and so we'll be putting out a bunch of mailers with the gospel on them. So just start praying about that now. So anyway, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. We just pray that you'd help us to understand it. Help me to be a blessing as I try to teach it. And Lord, help us to see what we need to understand this morning about being spiritual, and help me to be clear on that. And Lord, just use your word in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that first verse says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You know, that is an important verse about us taking care of one another, us helping one another, being willing to get involved when somebody's failing. But notice the who that is directed to. It's not directed to the carnal. It's not directed to the babe in Christ. It's directed to those that are spiritual. Those that are spiritual. And so that's a important distinction when he talks about that. And so what does it mean to be spiritual? And that's kind of the focus of the lesson today. What does it mean to be spiritual? Right? And obviously the very first thing about that is what the Bible repeats again and again and again, is that we're to be led by the Spirit. We're to yield to the Spirit. So obviously, to be spiritual, there has to be a spirit involved. And by the way, a lot of people today, it's kind of always amazes me. Sometimes I go out and I read some of these celebrity interviews just to get an idea of what these people are saying and what they're thinking and everything. And invariably, when they get to talk about their life and everything like that, they always want to throw something in. And some of them are into all manner of witchcraft. I mean, there are a few professing Christians among the entertainment industry. I understand that. But a lot of them are into witchcraft. They're into Buddhism. They're into Scientology. They're in all this type of stuff like that. And they always say, "Well, you know, I'm a very spiritual person." And actually, they're not spiritual at all. They're carnal. Because everything the devil does, he uses the flesh, and they are not spiritual. The devil himself is not spiritual. He is carnal. He is the very definition of carnality. the thief cometh not but what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. So the devil is the very definition of carnality, and a lot of these people, and they follow these things, and I understand they may be very sincere, they may be very religious in their way, they may be very, a lot of different things, and they may have good ideas that they want to do good in some ways, but they're carnal. They're not spiritual. And that is the most important thing that we have to understand. Most of the Christian life is a transition. The growth in the Christian life is literally a transition from carnality to spirituality. From the flesh to the spirit. And while this isn't going to be an exhaustive study, this is something that we need to understand, because he says, ye that are spiritual, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If somebody's overtaken in a fault, the idea is to restore them. Now, how do you restore somebody? Well, you're going to have to be able to confront them. You're going to have to be able to give them sound instruction in how to recover themselves out of that situation. You're going to have to be able to forgive them. You're going to have to be able to be an advocate for them when they do repent and come back. When you do try to lift them up. So there's a whole litany of things just common sense things that are required to restore such a one if somebody's overtaken in a fault. You know, you can. A lot of people may try to help, but not all the help is going to be good, is it necessarily? And so, what does it mean to be spiritual? Notice what he says in this. Notice what if we look at it, he said, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." All right, a spiritual person from that angle is somebody who has meekness and humility about them. Those are two of the meekness is one of the what is listed as the fruit of the spirit, right? And we can talk about being spiritual, and that would be going back to that very previous chapter. He says, but chapter 5 verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so there needs to be a spirit of meekness. I don't know why my tie is bothering me this morning. There needs to be a spirit of meekness. In other words, understanding your place in this thing. One of the big things that's very easy for people to get caught up with is thinking that somehow I'm the one that's going to be the one that fixes this thing. You can't fix anything. Trust me, as a pastor for so many years, I have learned I can't fix anything. It's extremely frustrating to me to try to help somebody and then watch them just ruin their lives anyway, and knowing that the answer to their problem is right there, but they won't believe it, and therefore they won't have it. It's frustrating to watch people go down the tubes. It's frustrating to watch people deal with things that I myself have dealt with and have been victorious. victorious in overcoming. And I try to share that with somebody, and it's just like, oh, you don't understand, preacher. It won't work for me. That don't work for me. I tried that once, and it didn't work. You know, and it's just that unwillingness to trust God. It just makes it so hard. And obviously, to be spiritual, there has to be an element of faith. Because faith is the basis of our relationship, right? We're saved by faith, by grace through faith. All right? We're to live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? So faith, that trust in God, has to be there. And so when we look at that, but there also has to be a meekness and understanding that it's God that does the work. And this is one thing that a lot of times people don't understand. They go to the preacher for answers, and the preacher gives them good, sound, biblical answers, but they're not willing to trust God enough to try to implement that in their life. And the first sign of their failure, they quit. And so what does that lead to? It leads to a point to where the frustration and the idea of this, and I've actually seen preachers and I've seen Christians that do that. They get frustrated with people and they just want to quit on them. It's like, why bother with them anymore? Don't care about them anymore. Well, that's certainly not the way to do. We're never supposed to stop caring about people, are we? But in order to do that, you have to humble yourself. Yeah, there has to be some meekness. You have to understand your place in this. This is what God's the one that is going to do the thing, do this. It's not me, it's God. He's the one that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. I can't fix anything you do. I can tell you who can. I can tell you the steps to take to get there. But I can't do it for you. I can't believe for you. And when I say I can't believe for you, I can believe that God's working in your life, but I can't make you believe God. Which is what it's going to take. And he says, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. A spiritual person also realizes the dangers that he faces. Most people run around and we go in and we get into all manner of things in this world and we never think about the dangers they pose. You never think about those things. If you're dealing with somebody that's got an addiction to pornography or something like that, that could be an area where people are very easily, because of the carnality and the reality of that temptation, that could be something that you have to be careful with. That's just one example, but it could be anything. It could be gossip. You know how easy it is to fall into gossip? Yeah, how easy it is for you to be talking about something you have no business talking about to somebody else who has no business hearing it? Very easy, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how you can be in the middle of that before you even realize you've begun? I mean, I could go down the list of every possible sin that people could fall into and fall victim to and get bound up and get in bondage to and get be overtaken by. But in everything, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to deal with those things. And you have to be careful. Realize that you can be in the same issue. You can be overtaken. There have been a bunch of preachers throughout the centuries that have gotten into illicit relationships simply because they go and they sit down, for example, a preacher listening to a woman all by himself, alone with her. Not only does he open himself up to possible accusations of impropriety in that way, but then there's this, that relationship being there, and that they begin to build a bond. And especially if the preacher's having trouble at home, and the woman's having trouble at home, and they're commiserating with one another. And guess what happens? Oftentimes, that's when adultery happens. And we've all heard of preachers who've fallen into adultery. There's some Southern Baptist preacher that just got in trouble and got suspended for sending inappropriate messages to some woman. And it happens all the time. And most of the time it's because we don't take the steps that are necessary to protect ourselves. You have to be, so from that understanding, a spiritual person is somebody who understands the dangers that they face. And not only understands the dangers that they face, but understands how to avoid them the proper way. And a spiritual person is somebody who understands what the Bible says about how to implement the biblical principles that are required to overcome this problem. Somebody who's willing to take the time, the steps, to go through those things. So many times we want to go to shortcuts. We want to go to little adages. And the funny thing about these problems that we have and these things that we have is that these little shortcuts, and I call them shortcuts, they're not really shortcuts, but they're the adages that we say are actually true. But sometimes we need to spell it out. Well, brother, well, sister, you know, you just need to learn to trust the Lord. Now, that is important. You do. That's 100% true. But how do I do that? How do I learn to trust the Lord? A spiritual person knows what it means to trust God. How do they know? Because they have done it. And if I ask if you're spiritual, have you done it? Have you learned to trust the Lord? What does that mean? It could mean an abundance of things. It could mean abundance of things. Every situation is different. It could mean something as simple as praying faithfully. It could mean quitting your job. It could mean separating yourselves from friends or family. It could mean being willing to suffer so you don't sin. It could mean a lot of different things. Depends on the circumstance. Depends on the situation. There's so many things in the Bible that we could talk about. What does the Bible tell the thief? Let him that stole steal no more, but let him do what? Work, labor with his hands. Why? So that he can have to give to somebody else. It means you stop taking and start giving. It might mean trusting God with your finances, your pocketbook. We could go down the list of things that it means to be spiritual. But the one thing about this, it is all led by the Spirit. It's where we were willing to look into the Word of God and say, you know what, God says this is the way I ought to do this, and so therefore I am going to trust God, and to the best of my ability I'm going to do that. Being spiritual is something that is really easy. In the sense of the operation of it, it's actually very, really easy, but the problem is our flesh fights it. Emotions, desires. That's why it says they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Nothing can get between you and the Lord. Like that old hymn that we sing, nothing between my soul and the Savior, nor of this world's elusive dream, right? So, that's the whole point. To be spiritual, you have to follow the Spirit, and that goes to everything you're doing. Look at a couple of verses about the Bible says, Romans chapter 8, real quick, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, let me get over there. Romans chapter 8, and he says verse 6. Let's go back to verse 1. Let's just go all the way back there because it all falls in there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The first thing a spiritual person does is understand I'm now free. I'm free. Free from the law. Free from sin. Free from death. I'm free. And he says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? We're not to walk after the flesh, we're to walk after the Spirit. And He says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, the focus is to mind the things of the Spirit that are spiritual, to look for that which is spiritual in every situation. If you cannot find something spiritual about something, then you need to leave it behind. If you can't do something in a spiritual manner, in a godly manner, then leave it behind. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity to God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So very simply is that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If your focus is entirely on yourself and nobody else, if your focus is on me and what am I going to do, and that's all you care about, I can tell you right now, you're not spiritually minded. If your focus is, what can I do to have pleasure for myself, if that's your focus, then that's not spiritually minded. If your focus is, I do this, now how can I do this in a manner to please God? That's spiritually minded. How can I learn to do this? How can I learn to live my life the proper way? I have this sin in my life. What do I do about it? What does the Bible say I should do about this sin? What does the Bible say? The spiritually minded person is going to be looking in God's Word for ways to be pleasing to God. Because he says that the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, right? It's enmity against God. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So somebody that's in the Spirit is looking for a way to please God. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? So when we talk about being spiritual, where's your focus? Is your focus to please God? And then we go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says this in verse... let's go back. Let's go to verse 9. He said, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth the deep searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So we look at that passage there, we see a lot of things about that. We see that we don't speak according to man's wisdom. We speak spiritually. It's always amazed me when we get into the discussion. This is one of the things I can say about a lot of my Baptist brethren when it comes to spiritual gifts and everything. A lot of people, when they come up and you talk about spiritual gifts in a lot of Baptist churches and a lot of fundamental Baptist churches, the first thing they want to do is take an aptitude test. Now, these are your spiritual gifts. That's not necessarily so. There are a lot of things that I have are natural aptitudes, which are simply gifts that God has given me by virtue of my birth. But spiritual gifts are given to me by virtue of the new birth. And yes, God knows everything, but you can't just take an aptitude test or some type of personality test or something like that and say, "Oh, this is your spiritual gift." That's not the way it works. That's man's wisdom. And most people aren't really worried about what is my spiritual gifts? What gifts did God give to me? Because that goes along into that nebulous thing that we talk about called the will of God. What is God's will for my life? Well, I don't know. And I don't care. That's where a lot of people are in their search. We all want to know some great thing. I had a guy talking to me in the jail about God's will in his life. And I was like, I can't tell you what God's will is for your life. That's something you've got to work out with the Lord. Where does God want you to be? I can tell you a lot of things that I know are God's will for your life. I can tell you that it's God's will that you be thankful and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I can tell you it's God's will that you flee fornication. I can tell you many other things that the Bible clearly spells out are the will of God. But those are the will of God for every believer. But you personally, that's something else. That's something you have to work out. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But notice what he says about this. He says, we don't speak the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, here's the thing. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye now able, for ye are yet carnal. Alright, I can't speak to you as spiritual. I'm trying to teach you the basics yet again. I mean, there comes a time where we just get on board with God's program and say, you know what, God's right, everybody else is wrong, I'm going to do it God's way. That's a spiritual attitude. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. That's a spiritual attitude. And he says, for you are yet carnal. For whereas, look at what he says. For whereas there is among you envying. You envious of anybody? And strife and divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? You're not walking as spiritual, you're just walking like everybody else. There's envying and there's jealousy, there's strife. There's fussing and fighting. And divisions. And their divisions were what? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. He talks about that, and he talks about, goes on and talks about the Christ being the foundation and how we build on that foundation and what that's going to happen and all the things that they talk about. But they're carnal. They're why? Because they're full of divisions. They're full of divisions because they're following men. By the way, that is extremely clear that much of professing Christendom, if you want to call it that, is carnal like that. Boy, if you say anything about somebody's favorite preacher, whoa. That's where I get in most of my trouble. If somebody talks to me about, what do you think about this guy or this preacher here? And I say, well, you know, if I don't know anything about him, I say, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't know anything. I'd have to read it. Oh, he's the greatest. He's just the best. He's, this. But if I know something about him and I've done a little research and I've looked and listened to what they've taught, and I say, well, you know, I have a problem with this, what he's teaching. Boy, watch the fireworks fly. It don't matter how much Bible I put with it. You think I called him a dirty name? It still goes on, doesn't it? And it's carnal. By the way, my job as a pastor is to understand these things and tell the truth about them, isn't it? If somebody says the Bible says something and I don't agree that the Bible says what they say it says, then I'm, you know, what am I supposed to do? Just keep my mouth shut? That's not spiritual, is it? Now, how I do it is important. The way I disagree is important, wouldn't you think? I don't have to be unkind. I don't have to be ugly. But boy, you don't have to be ugly to get somebody upset when you talk about their favorite preacher. I mean, it's just reality. Then likewise, you have to be able to take criticism. I remember one time I had a good friend of mine in the Navy, and we got in discussion about Jimmy Swaggart. And so we were talking back and forth about it and stuff like it. So he sent me a big old Bible study that was put out by Jimmy Swaggart. And I read through the Bible study, and I went down there and I wrote a letter back to him, and I wrote to him every place that I disagreed and why I disagreed and why I thought he was in error there and something like that. And you know what? I never heard back from him. I had a young man come up here one time who was working over on the fellowship hall we were working on, and he come up there. We met him up at the Dollar General up there. Sister Denise and I had stopped to get some stuff, and he talked to us. He seemed boy on fire. He wanted to do something for God and everything. And he came back, and we sat and talked to him for a long time. And I think Brother Donnie was there at that time. And he was there, and he was telling me about all these different signs and things that he supposedly saw in the heavens and all these things. And he was trying to get me to know. So I listened to everything he had to say. I talked to him. And I sat down, and I did some research as to what he was talking about. I listened to what he was talking about. And I sat down, and I wrote him a letter. I said, look, I can't answer these things without a little bit of research. I went and did my research. I looked at the scriptures. I looked at what he said. I wrote him a letter, and I said, or a list, and I said, hey, this is what I want to give you so that you can understand where I'm coming from, why I disagree with certain things like that. I gave it to him, never heard another thing from it. Because people get offended. Now, how do spiritual people get offended over the Bible? Why don't we? You'd think we'd be digging deeper, wouldn't you? But the question is, are you spiritual? Are you carnal, or is there envying, strife, divisions? How do you handle conflict? How do you handle things like that when they come up? How do you handle it? How you handle it is a thing. Ye that are spiritual, do what? Restore such a one with the spirit of what? Meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. He tells us to bear one another's burdens. And realize that every man will bear his own burden. You go all the way through there. We can talk about it. But the question is, are you spiritual? And that ought to be a question you ask. Am I spiritual? And then you ought to be desiring to find out, what do I have to do to be spiritual? What does the Bible say I have to do to be a spiritual person? And now, how do I get there? Here's where I am now. How do I get there? That ought to be the pursuit of our life, don't you think? Because a spiritual person, a person that's spiritually minded, they want to please God. Is pleasing God at the forefront of what you do? That's a question you have to answer yourself. One day we're going to answer it before the Lord. So, you know, kind of be good if we got started now, don't you think? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break till the morning preaching. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you help me to be a blessing this morning and challenge our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you take your Word and use it. And Lord, above all, just create a desire in our hearts to be that spiritual person that we ought to be. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.